Planets, moons, rocks, and asteroids are built in space by tiny bits of rock sticking together. They can be all sizes, from rocks, pebbles, grains of dust, right down to smoke-sized particles and even atoms. All these objects have mass ranging from tons, kilograms, grams, micrograms, nanograms, right down to the weight of a single atom. A property scientists have discovered about mass is that all things with mass have a gravitational field generated by that mass, but in proportion to the size of that gravitational field. So a ton will have 1,000 times greater gravitational field than a kilogram, 1,000 times greater gain than a gram, and so forth, till you get down to very small particles which have almost no gravitational field. If you think of gravitation as a form of stickiness, then the larger particles, or the larger rocks, will be more sticky than the smaller rocks. The larger rocks will grow, becoming more sticky, and as they become more sticky, the faster they grow. The scientific term for this process is called accretion. Because initially rocks stick where they land, the shape of what is made is all random and rather ugly to look at. After a rock pile reaches a certain size, the gravity increases such that the high points, when disturbed, will fall down and fill in the lower points, forming an eventual spheroid or spherical object known as planet or planetesimal small planet or dwarf planet. So the answer to this question of why are planets spherical is two things. One is the gravity has to be from the planet itself, not gravity in general, and the gravity has to be above a certain threshold to knock the mountains down to fill in the valleys. What makes a planet spherical? The gravity on the planet is sufficient to pull down mountains. The Sun, the Earth, and indeed all stars and planets that spin have flattened poles because their rotation throws material at their equator towards space. The gravitational field is not weaker because it is spinning. In fact, properly analyzed, particles on the equator, because they are accelerating, experience an unbalanced force. So this force of gravity is still the same, but the force holding them up is insufficient, and they are accelerating in a circular orbit, although albeit a supported circular orbit around the Earth. Why is the Earth slightly flattened at the north and south poles? Because the Earth is spinning. The Moon has a diameter which is about a quarter that of Earth, and the Earth has a diameter which is about a hundredth that of the Sun. So the Moon's diameter is about 1/400th of that of the Sun. But as the Moon is 400 times closer to the Earth than the Sun, they both appear exactly the same size in the sky, and so when they overlap, when the Moon comes in front of the Sun, it blocks the Sun, creating a total eclipse. Why does the Moon completely block the Sun in a total lunar eclipse? It is 400 times closer to us than the Sun, but it is also 400 times smaller than the Sun. Analemma is the term used for the plot that you get if you mark the position in the sky of the sun at the same time every day of the year. Because the Earth is spinning, it is gyroscopically stabilized at 23 degrees inclination to the orbit plane. If I ignore daylight saving and plot the elevation of the sun at the same time every day, it will vary by the same 23 degrees up and down above the horizon, called the azimuth, every year. It will also have an east-west variation due to the elliptical path of our orbit, racing much more quickly around the sun when we are at the closest to the sun and slowing up as we go away from the sun. When we combine these two effects together, the net effect is the sun appears to trace a figure eight in the sky over a year's period. If you plotted the position of the sun at the same time every day, accounting for the variation due to daylight saving, that is moving an hour ahead and not doing that during the moving an hour ahead, what shape would the sun plot out in the sky? A figure eight shape. A combination of factors enabled the sun to fuse hydrogen. These factors are heat, the pressure generated by its gravity, and the density of the hydrogen pushed together. When the hydrogen is pushed sufficiently close together, it overcomes the electrostatic repulsion between two positive charges and allows the hydrogen to fuse into helium. The actual strong attraction of the nuclear force releases energy in the form of nuclear energy, called fusion, which eventually goes to the surface of the star as heat. Why is the sun hot? It generates energy by turning hydrogen into helium. The visible surface of the sun that we can see is called the photosphere, around 5,000 degrees. Above this is its atmosphere, which is called the chromosphere, and this is heated to many millions of degrees by radiation and radio waves generated by the sun. And this heat gas heats up and streams past the Earth, known as the solar wind, and reaches deep into space, way beyond the orbit of Jupiter, Neptune, and Pluto, up to 120 astronomical units, or Earth-Sun distances, deep into space, because this gas is so hot and so energetic. How far above the sun does the sun's atmosphere extend beyond the orbit of Pluto? The solar wind is generated by radio and microwaves created on the surface of the sun and heats up the upper layers of the atmosphere to millions of degrees. Because it heats it up differently in the equator and on the poles, you get high and low speed winds simultaneously coming off the sun, following magnetic field lines and intersecting, creating a swirling shockwaves. A spiraling shockwaves which gyrate out from the sun, known as a ballerina's skirt shape. This is an unusual feature, and the largest feature of the solar system, this ballerina's rotating skirt going through us and outside the Earth's orbit. The solar wind picks up and dies down as the skirt flies through the different planets. What is the shape of the solar wind? A rotating ballerina's skirt? The radius of the sun is about 110 times the radius of the Earth. Now, the volume of the sphere is 4/3 pi r cubed. So you cube the radius, that's 110 times 110 times 110 equals about 1,300,000. So the volume of the sun is about 1,300,000 times larger than the volume of the Earth. How many Earths could you pack inside the volume of the Sun? 1,300,000? The mass of any astronomical object can be determined by clocking the speed of its satellites. So the faster things orbit, the more massive it is. We've used this to determine the mass of the Sun is 333,000 times greater than the mass of the Earth. How many times more massive is the Sun than the mass of the Earth? 333,000? Because the Sun is a ball of gas, it rotates at different speeds at the equator and at the pole. It spins more quickly at the equator, being 24 days, and at the poles, it goes up to 38 days to spin around. From Earth, the rotation appears slower because we are co-orbiting or co-rotating with it. So from Earth, we measure a period to complete one complete rotation at the equator of 26 days. How long does it take for the Sun to complete one full rotation? 24 days at the equator, varying up to 38 days at the poles.